This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. It's one day, Barry, before the quiz night. And as we promised last night, we're going to give you some results.
I've got the intermediate pairs, Mariana, taken out by Megan Watcrow and Chris Andrews. They've been playing Congress for a while, so good on them. Second with Deirdre Oliver and Robin Stevenson.
Nice. And in the New Zealand Restricted Open, the final was taken out by Lysandra Zing and Tim Pan, runner-up Rhonda Graham and Nick Eddington. And in the plate, that was a couple of Waikato people, Joy Williams and Guy Kalma, followed by Eve Clarkson and Brenda Campbell.
We did announce that the Open Pairs was won by Mike Cornell and Ashley Bark, of course. Mike Cornell also had his World Bridge Masters certificate, or whatever it was called, something like that, presented to him by the chairman of NZ Bridge. That got a good reception.
Yeah,
and also the New Zealand Open Pairs plate was taken out by Gary Chen and John Wang.
The National Congress Match Point Swiss pairs, they're mainly for people just arriving at Congress or the ones that were dumped out of the Open Pairs final. That was won by Stephen Henry and Annette Henry of Wellington, followed up by Murray McMillan and Murray Phillips. There's a couple of other ones, Barry. There's the junior pairs that was also held, and that's always quite cool to follow up. Our very own Angus Moore, he was playing in it. And that was won by Tash London and Mark Wilson. So that's very good.
Did you hear Mike Cornell's speech, by the way, his acceptance speech? That was quite amusing. He said that he first played for New Zealand, I think he said 1971 or 72. And since then, he's played with 10 different partners. He was counting them up in the shower this morning.
Funny, only 10 in that space of time. Wow.
But he has been playing with Ashley for, close on 20 years by the sounds of it, Ashley Bart.
Results of the novice pairs, they played a session that was won by Jennifer Beecroft and Christine Hyde. I'm not too familiar where they are from, but well done, ladies. It's a bit scary coming into Congress and they had six tables.
We're now halfway through the teams qualifying. How are you going, Mariana? You need to make the top 16, don't you?
Yeah, at the moment we're 13. So we played four rounds. One thing that Kevin and I were trying to achieve was to stay really focused with our system, rah, 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 rah. Got a nice surprise when we received the results of round one. We were 10th in the datum out of 52, and then we rose to 7th. At round three, we were 4th. We didn't stay behind for round four, but we'll see how that goes. What about you?
Well, so the top 16, you've got 26 teams in yours, I think, have you?
Yep.
And we've got 50. Oh, no, hang on a minute. You've got 52 teams in yours.
52 pairs, 26 teams.
I'm looking at the datums. I've just realized.
Yeah.
I've just realized. So, yep, you're 21st on the datum. And
yeah, we had a bad round four. It was pretty ugly.
Good enough to be lying 13th, and you only need to make the top 16.
Yeah.
To the next round. In ours, we've got a few more teams, I think.
How'd you go in your first couple of rounds?
Yeah, we won the first three rounds and lost the fourth. So we're quite well placed. We're lying 6th at the moment out of 56.
Yeah.
Playing the Cornell team tomorrow. Hopefully we'll get a half by reasonable result and stay in the frame.
Put hairs on your chest. We are coming 13th. Yeah, playing with Francie Ball and Gwyneth Mace. We've never played with them before, so it's been quite nice to have a look. And funny thing happened. We actually had fairly close to a draw on our last round. We lost by one in Barry. And William said to us, because our friend William's from Australia, he goes, oh, over in Australia, 0-2 is considered a draw. But, oh, no, not here in New Zealand. It's a loss.
A win's a win. They don't go for any of that friendly draw nonsense. I think there's something like 43 Australians here. This year?
Right. Okay, yeah.
So, a couple of from the UK and a couple from the States, I think. So a bit of an international.
Well, I said to him, oh, look, you're pretty PC over there. I said, over here, you're playing in a cutthroat competition. You either win or you lose this. And he says, oh, you guys are harsh. And he said, I'll show you in the regulation. I said, no, a loss is a loss over here. There's no ifs, buts and maybes. So he thinks we were hard done by, Barry.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Hey, it is in the evening time. We've just finished playing our session of bridge and we've got Judge Julie here and we've got a myriad of things to talk to you about. So welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I reckon we could take up the whole half hour with Judge Julie this week. Lots of stuff happening at Congress. Or yep. Not happening.
Okay, hit her with a question.
Well, apparently there was one table where somebody went to open one heart and said, oh, shit, which is, I don't know, whether that's in the director's manual, and called the director over and said he didn't want to bid one heart. He didn't intend to bid one heart, but I don't know. Should we say the other interesting part about when he got up, when the director took him away from the table and he got up, he shook and all his cards went everywhere over their opponents and under their chair and all. That's not really totally relevant. But,
you're not meant to look at them, eh? Judge, can we help the man there on the floor?
No, you can't. I mean, the director can, and unless it was a ploy to get a director down on their knees, which has happened in the past, I think. But generally, no, you can't because you don't want to see the cards. And you don't want your partner to see the card. So when something like that happens, we all look at skyward, wait for the cards to be picked up, and hopefully it doesn't impact on the auction. I mean, in all fairness, we all want a board to be played that is based on us bidding and playing rather than having stuff happen that's outside of that sort of thing. So we don't help. We look skyward and we just feel sorry for the poor person scrambling around the floor picking up their cards.
So anyway, the guy wanted to change his one heart, but he didn't mean to open one heart. He meant to open three hearts, Julie. What happens there?
Well, the director will take you away most of the time when you've opened something that you didn't intend to find out what it was that you intended to do. Now, when a bid has been made, that could be that you've miscounted your hand or forgotten your system or something like that, you're not allowed to correct a mistake. You're only allowed to correct a bid that was not intended. So that's why the director takes the person away from the table so they can look at the hand and they can speak to the person about what they intended and what happened. Clearly, in this case, the poor guy is flustered. And very often you find with an unintended bid that the person's face tells you the story completely. They never, ever meant to do whatever it was. But for all of that, to be fair, to be unbiased, we have to apply these things consistently across the board. Best way of doing that is taking the person away from the table so we can have a good look at the hand, find out what they play, what their system is to make sure that it's not a mistake, but it is actually just not intended.
It almost seems rude not to help them pick up their card.
I know, yeah, and you feel sorry for people.
The one heart, three heart thing, though. I mean, we all know what an easy job directing is, but let's say you went over there. I mean, if the guy's only got 6 or 7 points and 7 hearts, it's obvious he's never meant to open one heart. But if he's got quite a nice 9 count or even a 10 count with 7 hearts, he might have been thinking about opening one heart.
Well, that's why we have to take them away from the table to talk to them to find out.
Okay.
Yep. And particularly with Congress and things like that, where there's a lot of different stuff being played and you've got to be fair and you've got to be making decisions. Seriously, I know the staff have had our normal teething problems as we settle into the beginning of Congress. And I heard that there was stuff, problems with the bridge mates not going or whatever was happening. So they're all doing their best, but at times it does get a bit hectic and we don't often see what's going on in the background. The directing staff really do a good job and possibly not aided by some of the people that were playing in the final today, even if they did do really well. All right.
They're having a dig.
She's
got a spade there. I can see her. She's having a dig.
We've got another one, another thing that happens. Somebody opens a diamond and their partner bids a no trump. Nothing unusual about that, you'd think. And subsequently, it turns out that the person who bid one no trump has a 4-card major.
Yeah. This is quite a good question because there's a lot of bits and pieces around what happens and what doesn't happen. I know a lot of people, when they learn to play bridge, that when their part opens, if they've got 6 to 9 points, they've been one no Trump, because one no Trump shows 6 to 9 points, which is not true and not what we teach, but is what happens with misinformation and misinterpretation. There are other things that happen with people about things that can be alerted and not alerted. Patrick and I play a 9 to 14 opening bid for one of a major. So if we own one heart or one spade, it shows 9 to 14. And we haven't been alerting that because quite a few years ago we got told that we didn't have to alert it. But now it feels like we should, and we are alerting it at Congress this year because the manual is saying about being active. If we are in doubt about whether we should alert something or not, we should be alerting it because it might need to be. And that's the case with this one diamond pass, one no Trump situation, because our opponents are expecting something different to happen. Now, a lot of us don't know what our opponents expect or don't expect. So it's pretty difficult. But if we're sitting there thinking, oh, I'm not certain, then alert. If you're not certain and you alert something, you won't end up with a problem very often, if ever. If you don't alert something, you will end up with a problem quite often, and it will not be a good problem. So if you're in doubt about whether to alert something, you can check with the director at your club, at your tournament, at your congress, and ask them, and they will give you good advice. Or if you just alert and then check later, you will also get really good advice. You know, there's things like forcing. People don't know should they alert it or not. One no Trump opener, partner transfers. You play super accepts whenever you have four card support. So if it goes one no Trump, two diamonds, transfer to hearts, and I bid two hearts, I can't have four hearts. That's information my opponents are entitled to know. So there's lots of little bits. Alerting is about those little extra bits of information that your partner has got that your opponents do not have. And gee whiz, guess what I'm going to say? There are no secrets at the bridge table.
The bridge table, yeah.
So there's something really ugly and unsavoury going on in Auckland, Mariana, that I found out about today that I think should be alerted. Oh, look, it's going to make you want to throw up, Mariana. Apparently, some people, when they're opening a five-card major, their partner have been supporting them, bidding two, with only two cards in the suit. Did you believe that, Mariana? I think it should be outlawed.
I don't know why you're saying Auckland. I've come across this reasonably frequently. I have played at Auckland occasionally, really. But when I've been playing online, I would say reasonably frequently. One spade double sitting there, two spades, could be a double. If it's a surprise to everyone at the table when it's a double jumbo, well, that's okay. But if your partner often raises you with one less card than they promise, then perhaps you should be alerting it every now and then.
Okay.
But poor Barry, they don't do it against them, so obviously Muggins, me, just looks like
he should. I thought she was making it up, Mariana. I bet you do it too.
And we had someone alert a redouble today.
Doubles and redoubles and bids of the opponent's suit are not alertable. Yeah. All right.
Is it worthwhile calling the director, or do you just say you don't alert that?
Well, it depends. If there's a bit likely to be a problem, you're better off calling the director.
Yep.
Right. So if you're not certain, if you call the director, then everyone at the table is going to learn whether they should or they shouldn't.
Because they're good information.
All right.
People are alerting doubles. They're alerting redoubles. They're alerting one club. There's just an epidemic of it.
What are you going to do?
Well, some of it is because we know that the bid, the double or the redouble that has been made, has got a specific meaning that is conventional, but the regulations of New Zealand Bridge say it's not alertable, so we don't alert us. But your opponents can ask about what the bid means, and once the auction is over and before your opponents lead, you do this delayed alert thingy. So you, before they lead, you point out to them that it's got a special meaning so they can ask if they want to. So if Barry opens one heart and I bid two hearts, and it goes blah, 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 and Barry and Jenny end up playing in four hearts, my partner, before goes blah, 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 and we end up playing in four spades, then my partner or myself will point out that the two-heart bid had a special meaning and they should ask what it means. If it goes one no trump opener by our opponents and I double showing hearts in another and my partner bids and we end up playing in some contract, my partner will, at the end of the auction, when we are playing the hand, they will say to our opponents, the double has a special meaning. All right?
Right.
So it's called a delayed alert. And at the end of the auction, if you are the declaring side and you have made this bid that was not alertable, then you should be letting the opponents know that there is a special meaning that they might want to ask about.
I think the correct procedure
is... A little wee arrow. Something that alerts the opponents to the fact that the bid is dimensional when the side that made that call is the declaring side, okay? If you are defending, you can't do anything about it, really.
I tell you what, it does worry me a bit that you're playing against, you know, the final of the New Zealand pairs, and there's all this things being alerted that shouldn't be, and things that aren't being alerted that should be. And I mean, if those people can't get it right, well,
if you alert something that is not alertable, then unless there is a problem, generally there won't be one. All right,
okay,
yeah. So then you call the director and sort it out. We do our best, but if there is something that is alertable that you don't alert, there will be a big problem very often. Okay.
What about the alerting of one club, Julie? That's been happening.
Well, yeah, that's a bit odd because we announce it, so I can't see why it would be alerted. I do know when it was first brought in that there was a difference of opinion about the interpretation of the regulations.
Right. It's all getting pretty ugly, Mariana. I'm telling you. There's a lot going on there. Julie's grateful that she's playing, not directing, I reckon.
In all fairness, when you're sitting at the table and it goes blah, 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 and you end up defending, ask what the bidding means, and then you don't have a problem, okay? Because they have to tell you. And it's really important with things like congresses where people come from lots of different places that you don't rely on what you assume it to be, because very often it will be different.
How are the Australians going with the stop card? Two of our friends said, right, how do you use the stop card? I said, what you do is you get to your table, you turn the thing over and read what it says on the back of it. That's how you use it.
Yeah, most of them seem to be going okay. We haven't had any real issues. There's still a bit of stuff, but I mean, New Zealanders and Australians that really don't use them very well, if at all. So that is an issue. But so far this week, it's been pretty good.
Well, a lot of our reds are the same, aren't they? Like, no, they're the same. They don't alert doubles. They don't alert redoubles. They don't alert cubids. All the same as us.
Our regulations are very, very similar to the Australian regulations. Yep. There are a couple of differences about they might alert stamen, they might alert the two-club opener because it's conventional. So there's some differences there where they do some things that are slightly different. But most of our regulations in each country are very similar to each other because we play a lot in each other's countries.
I just want to let you know that on the first day of our competition, we had 5 adjusted boards because they were foul. Yes, apparently when they were dealing boards, the boards were out of order. So we were playing board 16, which were board 15.
Yeah, I know. Anyway. It only takes one to go out of order and the whole lot gets...
Yeah. I was just wondering, you know, on the side of some of the boards is a barcode. So it's better to have this barcode system because that would recognise a board out of place, wouldn't it?
Patrick doesn't use them when he's dealing, but he does check that boards are still in order and checks some hands randomly. We had it tense 1 year too where they went out of kilter. I was reckon it was a nightmare. It is always a nightmare when that happens. It is really easy. People pick up the boards for you and one of them is put in the wrong place and then the whole lot goes out of sequence. At times it happens. We don't want it to happen, and when it does, it's embarrassing and it's a nightmare.
It was a bit of a nightmare for me. It didn't bother me, but what sort of adjustment, that's my question, what sort of adjustment do you get for that when it's no fault of either side? What do you get?
Well, no fault is normally 60-60. That is what and if you get a 60% adjustment and you score higher, your adjustment will be changed to be higher.
Okay,
60% is not at fault at all. 50% is partially at fault, and 40% is your fault, effectively.
Right.
Okay. Now, some of the time, there's a problem about how often it's played in a different way. And it may be, if it's played often enough, you'll find that your match pointed in your wee group that played it failed, and then that's brought into the equation. So there's various things that can do, all of which are clearly put into the manual and clear cut about the way it is done. Again, we have a definite formula and we have some very definite things about the way we apply adjusted boards and what we apply with them. The director should be able to tell you, and I wouldn't ask at the time because they will be feeling very
annoyed,
you know, busy and flummoxed. I mean, it's just difficult. So when things settle down, if you need to know, if you ask somebody when they are looking calm and relaxed, they will give you good information. This is what happens when things go wrong in a tournament. All of a sudden people put up their hand and they ask you these questions and you're trying to fix other things. And we all get a bit sort of, I don't know, short-tempered.
The bridge mates weren't working this morning. And of course, someone puts their hand up and they said, yeah, they're not quite working yet. Just be steady. And next minute it's hand up. And it's like, can you not hear?
Seriously, you're in a room and you're trying frantically to sort things out and people just keep asking the same question.
Yeah.
So take a deep breath, listen to the directing staff, let them have some time at least to try and sort things out before you start panicking about it. They are doing the best they can. They will get back to you when they can.
So at the moment, what have you, like for me, I've just finished restricted open pairs. Yeah, it took us a bit long to get warmed up, but we finally fired today. Anyway, we're in teams tomorrow. What are you doing, Julie?
Well, we're a six-person team this year for the first time. Mm-hmm. So we had a draw to see what order we were playing. This is one of Patrick's wonderful draws. He made Barry and John very happy by handing them a $20 note.
Oh,
yeah, that was good.
An excellent thing. Yeah, Barry can tell you, actually.
He's got money.
He got money from Bayliss.
Yeah, well, yeah, but only temporarily.
Oh, yeah, good. Look at
the last two numbers of the serial number on our $20 note, and the one who had the lowest number set out the first set, the one who had the next highest number set out the second set, and the one who had the highest number set out the third set. But anyway, John looked at his, and it said 90, and he thought, oh, well, I'm going to be sitting out the last set. Anyway, I looked at mine, and it said 96. And I thought, oh, well, I'm going to be sitting out the last set. Yeah. And Patrick looked at his and said, 99. So he's sitting out the last set. So there you go. We've sorted out
the order of our play.
This year there's only eight matches of qualifying in the teams, in the New Zealand teams. So, and then it'll be down to the last 16.
Good. Is that the same format for restricted open? I have no idea. I haven't even looked. All I do is pack my lunch and turn up. On time.
First 2 days, probably, I would think. I'm not certain. I really haven't had a look at the requirements, mainly because we're not playing in it. So we've been very bad.
Is the New Zealand pairs finished now?
Yes, it is. Do you want to know who the winners were?
Let's hear who the winners were.
Ashley Bark, for the umpteenth time, playing with Mike Cornell this year.
Wow.
Second were Anthony and Kathy Kerr. It was pretty popular second place getters.
Yep.
And third were Ian Berrington and Graham Tufnell.
Nice. Very good. And finally, the weather has turned to crap. It was beautiful on Friday when I arrived.
Good bridge playing weather, Mariana. Good bridge playing weather.
I had some Australians with mittens on, Jules. Very cold. William was playing with a beanie. Oh, sucky.
Mariana, you might want to edit this bit out, or you might not. But Julie, without a word of a lie, has been wearing a nerdy around the apartment.
Oh, yeah, what are you singing?
You know what a nerdy is?
Yes, last night and tonight.
Andrew's got one of them, and guess what's on the front? The Batman logo.
Well, do we have a trivia question for Wednesday night? You know, what is worn underneath a nerdy?
Well, you'll have to take a picture and show us. Funny. Okay.
Very quiet, Mariana. I've never seen her so quiet.
They're very nice, aren't they? Very toasty warm. So Barry and I will catch up with you tomorrow with an update on what's happening with the teams before the show goes to air on Wednesday mornings. For now, it's goodbye from me.
And we'll have some more results too. Whatever other bits have been going on, we'll have those results too.
Thanks. See you later.
Bye.
But anyway, so there's still a lot of bridge to be played till we get to that vital cutoff to the last 16, and you have got the same format, I understand, Mariana. Is that right? The
top 16. That's right.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Yeah, so. I'm pretty sure. Hey, I've caught up with my friends from Palmerston North, and we have made a booking tomorrow for dinner. We're actually going to all meet at the club at the Mount, and we're going to have dinner there before the quiz night. We've got a table of 16 tomorrow booked in at 5:40. I hope we can make it. I don't think we'll be able to be there, so I hope we've got a little bit of leniency, because today we didn't leave till 20 to 6, so getting over to the Mount by 20 to 6 is going to be a big ask.
I just thought I'd tell you, we got a great bit of service from one of them. I did. Got a great bit of service from one of the directors today. Murray Wiggins announced that he thought they were going to start after lunch at 2, but it might be 1:30, and he would let us know later. Well, we were sitting out the second match because we got three pairs in our team, and I was heading home for lunch. And I thought, oh, that's a bit tricky. And Matthew McManus, one of the directors, sitting there, and I said to him, hey, what's happening? He said, oh, I don't know. What's your number? Took my number. Well, actually, he already had my number in his phone, apparently. I just don't know how that came about.
Yeah.
He looked at it and said, okay. So he sent me a text message through a bit later on to tell me that it was at 2:00. How's that for service?
Oh, very nice. Well, talking about service, we were playing a hand, just a normal board, and I was a dummy, and I said, look, I'm just going to pop off to the bathroom. So I went off to the bathroom, and then as I came back, they were just putting the cards away and checking the bridge mates and everything. And I sat down and I opened my book to write down the result. And my opponent said, I've already done that for you, lovey. And I was like, oh. So he had actually gone and opened my book and wrote down what the end results were. How about that for service?
The opponent said. That was very good of them. Was it your way or theirs?
It was our way, yep. We made a game contract, and he wrote it down. He said, it's all done. You don't need to worry about it. And I thought, how nice.
Very good. That's impressive.
Okay, so quiz night tomorrow starts at 7 o'clock. There's quite a few teams entered, and also there's some people that aren't actually in a team. So don't worry if you haven't got enough team members, you think, for the quiz night. Barry and I are going to be there with bells on.
How many teams are in it, Mariana? Do you know?
I know. I didn't find out that, but there are lots of people that said, I want to go, but I haven't got a team.
Where have they got to go to this thing? I should know because I've got to be there.
You have to go to the club, the Mount Maunganui Club. It's like a cozy club.
Oh, okay.
And the address is 45-47 Carwaka Street. So it's actually sort of up by the mountain, Barry. So make sure you're going in the right direction. So we've got some spot prizes. I've organised that, of course, through the Bridgestone prize cupboard. You sourced your spot prize, Barry?
No. I'm just going to be there for decoration, and I probably won't make a very good job of that either.
Okay, then, Pete. We will love you and leave you. Take care, and I'll see you later.
Okay, bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring Bridge from beginner to international, nationwide.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.